The Fertility Podcast is here to help you understand more about your fertility. And for the last 8 years, has published a lot of conversations with experts and people sharing their stories. It's now going back to its roots, giving you people's lived experiences once again to give you comfort in knowing there's a community of people who get it. So you find commonality, be inspired, and know you're not alone. Started by me, Natalie Silverman, a former patient, once I was pregnant after fertility treatment, I later joined forces with Kate Davis, an independent fertility nurse consultant, who is now your host. And here she is.
Hi, how are you? Welcome to this episode of the Fertility Podcast. But before I talk about our guests today, I just wanted to do a little roundup on what's been happening in the world of fertility. So yesterday I had a little trip to London to have a very long overdue catch up with Natalie to talk podcast stuff. And we also met with her co-founder of Fertility Matters at Work, Claire. So we had a really good natter about all things fertility, but we were actually there in part because later that day in the evening, we were attending Westminster to celebrate 20 years of our UK charity, Fertility Network UK. So it was a lovely event. It was great to catch up with lots of people that I've not seen for a while, actually, but also to meet some new friends. To kind of mingle around people that are involved in fertility, whether it be a clinician or an advocate or a patient. So it was a lovely evening spent with friends and, as I said, celebrating 20 years of the UK charity. So that was great. So in other news, in case you didn't hear it, as of the 22nd of February this year, if you have sadly experienced a pregnancy loss, you're now able to apply for a baby loss certificate. And this has been launched as part of the pregnancy loss review. It's one of the recommendations that came out of this review, and in hand in hand then with the priorities set out in the Women's Health Strategy. So I'm really pleased that this is now available. So it's available for any parents who experience the devastation of losing a baby before 24 weeks. You can apply for the certificate to have your grief recognised from now. And my understanding is that you can apply in retrospect up to 2018. But for more information, then you can find loads about it on the government website. So you can either just do a Google search, pregnancy loss certificate, and it will come up as one of the first ones, or you can go onto the government website and find it from there. But that's just a little bit of an update for you. So to go back then to talk about who was our guest for today. So this episode is coming out on the Monday after International Women's Day. So of course, we had to mark it with a pretty spectacular woman. And I've got a pretty spectacular woman for you. So in case you've not ever come across her, then you're going to love this. I'm chatting with Jessica Hepburn. And Jessica Hepburn is well known in the field of fertility. But if you're new to this area, then you may not have come across her yet. So Jessica is an author, an arts producer, and, as she says, the most unlikely adventure activist. And Jessica's here to talk about her incredibly heartbreaking and long fertility journey, but also to talk about her books, The Pursuit of Motherhood and 21 Miles, and now the launch of her brand new book, which she's going to be telling us all about, called Save Me From the Waves. There's a lot that we're going to be discussing, but I'm sure you'll agree that she is one incredible woman and very fitting for this episode to come out just a few days after International Women's Day. So without further ado, let's bring Jessica in. Hi, Jessica. Welcome to the Fertility Podcast.
Oh, thanks for having me, Kate. Well, it's always a joy to talk to you. Always a joy. And for those listening, you don't know that actually Jessica and I can see each other, which is lovely on the video. And that's always such a joy. And this is not your first time on the Fertility Podcast. How many times
would you... Oh, I feel like I've probably been one of the most featured guests, which is a bit naughty probably. I've definitely, this is definitely the third, but I think it could be the fourth or fifth.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I might have to do a little search later and find out. But you're here because there's been lots happening, probably since the last time that we spoke to you. And you've got a new book out, or that has now been published. It was published on the 7th of March, and we're going to be talking about that. But before we launch into all of that, because there's a lot to talk about, because even though you've been on before, but because, you know, you may well be a new voice, a new face to some of our listeners, tell us a little bit about you and what's been going on over the last 20 years, are we saying?
Yes. Well, my name is Jessica Hepburn, and I describe myself as an author, arts producer, and adventure activist. I say it's because I like alliteration and I like lists, especially lists of three, which is my favourite number. And actually, my job title now is really the result of my fertility journey, which is why I featured, I think, on the Fertility Podcast so many times, because I've made a career out of my fertility story. Very, very briefly, my sort of proper job for many years was working in the theatre. I ran a big theatre in London called the Lyric Hammersmith, which is the arts producing part of my job. And while I was doing that, my partner and I decided it was time, as so many people do, to start a family. We threw away the contraception. After a year, nothing had happened. And it was the start of what became a decade-long struggle to conceive for us, which involved, I always take a deep breath, it involved a total of 11 rounds of IVF, ultimately 11 rounds of unsuccessful IVF, multiple miscarriages, and an ectopic pregnancy that was discovered very late, not in my womb, but in my stomach, and resulted, you know, I nearly died from that. And for many, many years, I didn't tell anybody what I was going through. And then I started writing about it. I couldn't find the book that I wanted to read at the time. And I would say that I started to write it. And 10 years ago, in February, just gone, my first book, The Pursuit of Motherhood, came out. And that sort of was the beginning of changing everything. I, as you said, this is my third book that has been published on the 7th of March, just a few days ago. It's the third in a trilogy of work with my fertility story at the heart. And I have done lots of things. We're going to talk a lot about these adventures that I've been at. I say that I write alternative adventure stories. I won't say too much about that now because we're going to talk about that. But I've used the adventures I've been on to raise awareness and money for fertility causes. And I've also done a lot of campaigning in terms of the media and working with the national charities and the HFEA, the government regulator of fertility treatment. And I also set up my own arts festival called Fertility Fest. So yeah, that's a kind of little potted history of why I've been on Fertility Podcast so many times.
Absolutely. It's like me asking you to do your 20 years of your life as a potted history is not easy. But we know that you know, it's not uncommon, is it, for women who go through a fertility journey to then decide to make something out of this, some perhaps career, some pathway. And I know both you and I have got numerous friends that have done, you know, exactly that. Natalie being one of them, you know, she started this podcast as a result of her fertility journey. But I have to say, Jessica, I think you take it to a completely other level when it comes to that. And by that, I mean, and this is quite intriguing, and I'm going to ask you to explain it, that apparently, not apparently, definitely, you are the only woman on the planet to have done the Sea Street Summit Challenge. Just let that sink in for a moment. C Street Summit. So go on, explain that.
Well, I told you I like lists of three and I like alliteration. Yes. Well, it kind of all started when I turned 43 and I'd just come out of my 11th round of unsuccessful IVF and I just thought I need to do something different. And the thing that I decided to do, which was mad, was I decided I was going to swim the English Channel. I mean, I call it part childhood dream, part midlife crisis, because I'd enjoyed swimming as a child, but I hadn't, like, I wasn't a swimmer, I wasn't a very good swimmer, I hadn't done any open water swimming, you know, I hadn't thought about, you know, childhood dreams for 30 years, but I embarked on this journey that changed my life for all sorts of reasons. And that then led me to running the London Marathon, which I did for Fertility Network UK. Well, I did both those challenges for raising money for Fertility Network UK. And then that led me to the third and biggest challenge of all, which was attempting to summit Mount Everest, which was a huge journey, but I did manage to get to the top in May 2022. And yes, and obviously my latest book is about the story of that journey as well as other things. But yes, when I did, no one is... the thing is, I am the most unlikely athlete. I really am. You know, in school, I was the arty one, not the sporty one. I've talked about my life in theatre. You know, I'm a writer now. But I these challenges that I've taken on are very similar to going through the mental and physical endurance test that is going through IVF or a fertility or an infertility diagnosis. But no one is more surprised than me that, yes, that I have become the first woman to do all three of these things.
So Pursuit to Motherhood, your first book, and then 21 Miles, which was the book you wrote while training for the Channel swim. Yeah. Both focused on your fertility journey to a certain extent. Well, certainly the first one and then the second one. Yeah.
Yeah, well, definitely the Pursuit of Motherhood. I mean, I describe them all as adventure stories. Or alternative adventure stories, including The Pursuit of Motherhood, because I now see my IVF journey as the first adventure that I went on. But yes, it was that first book was, well, sometimes I describe it as my misery memoir. You know, it was my journey through infertility and IVF. And it was very much that story. And then 21 Miles was about coming out of treatment and really... I talked about this part childhood dream, part midlife crisis decision to swim the English Channel. So it was about that. But it was also about me trying to work out what to do next. And so I decided to try and answer the question, does motherhood make you happy? And I went on this journey meeting all these famous women to try and answer that question, to decide, did I need to find another route to parenthood? Could I, consider adoption or fostering or gamete donation or surrogacy or the other journeys to parenthood? Or could I have a fulfilling life without children? And then during that book and that journey, you know, my relationship was breaking down, and then it did break down irreparably. And so really the third book is about coming out of that double loss of the loss of a loss of my parenthood dreams, but also the loss of the love of my life. And I went back to another adventure to try and heal me from that. So that's
a huge loss of motherhood, but like you say, the loss of the love of your life as well. Mm. And so that led you then to, I guess, Everest and writing. I'm just going to show, because we have got this on YouTube, so we can look at it. Save Me From the Waves, which I loved. I absolutely loved. And it's a kind of like a musical adventure story, isn't it, really? Because because
it's really true. It's as much about music as it is about mountains. In fact, maybe it's a little bit more about music than it is about mountains, because music is the arts of my love, you know. And in some respects, I describe these big physical challenges like IVF as a sort of version of self-harm. You know, they were not easy, but they released the emotional pain, you know, the swimming, the channel, climbing Everest, you know, they've made me stronger. But yes, there's this other element to this third book where I listen to every, while I'm training, I'm listening to every single episode of my favorite radio program turned podcast, which is called Desert Islandists. It's a Radio 4, BBC Radio 4 program, one of the longest running radio programs ever in the UK. And the castaways on it, the premise of the program is that each guest, and you know, it's had so many famous guests over the last century, you know, prime ministers, press barons, Oscar winners, Olympic athletes, and they each have to choose 8 discs, one book and one luxury item to take to a desert island. And their wisdom on the show and their music really fueled my movement up the mountain. And so, yes, it's this music mountain story.
Yeah. Well, when I was reading it, you know, it would make me laugh one moment. It would make me cry the next. And sometimes I just couldn't pick it up because I'd got to a point where I felt that it impacted me so much that I needed to have a bit of time away before I could go back and pick it up again. Although I was desperate to get back to it. It was that real kind of thirst to almost like I'm stealing myself to read it. But it was so, so inspiring. And I'm a lover of lists as well. You know, you should see my to-do list. It's like length of my arm at the moment. And so I just love the way that you chose music that featured perhaps in your childhood, home life, love songs, and I like the way you put in bracket if you still believe in love, sad songs, happy songs, faith and survival, and then last songs to die to, which was interesting. So I guess these songs then have influenced you and been the path of your life, have they, to date, would you say?
Well, they have, yeah. I mean, What happened in the sort of course of this adventure and listening, you know, as I was training with a pack on my back, walking up hills, listening to these episodes, is I started to create, as I was listening to all these episodes and I was introduced to all this music that I hadn't heard of before or music that I hadn't heard of for a long time, I started to write these playlists for every aspect of my life and also the natural world. So music for the mornings, music for the mountains, music for to push me through an extra mile, or music to make me happy when I was feeling down. And then the other extraordinary thing that happened is that I started to create these playlists for my family, you know, and you know, family has become a really important thing for me, you know, the family that I have, but also the family that I've lost or never had, you know. So I created playlists for my grandparents. I've created playlists for my mom and dad. And I've created playlists for Peter, my partner, who I'd separated from, and Molly, who was the name that we gave to our miscarried child. And actually, you know, I won't say too much about the playlist I created for her because I hope that will be nice for people to read. But I know that makes people feel very emotional, you know, the thought of composing a playlist for a child that you were never able to have. But it actually brought me so much joy.
Oh, that's lovely to hear. That's really inspiring. And kind of a question that I've got, and it's a difficult one to ask, and I'm hesitating because I'm trying to work out the best way to say it, but and maybe you'd say not now, but certainly at the beginning when you did the channel swim, when you did the marathon, was that searching for something? And if it was, now have you found what you're looking for, or are you still searching?
You know, I don't know if I would use, it's a great question, Kate, and I don't know if I'd use the word searching for something, other than searching for something different from the path that I was on. You know, like I say that I lost a decade of my life to Project Baby, and I really needed to find out whether there was, you know, an alternative life and what that looked like. And also to sort of make up for lost time, you know, like to, you know, it's funny that you say that thing about, oh, you've got this section called Songs to Die To, you know, and you, and I could see your face when you say that, but, you know, like, it's so important to me because life is so short, right? We're here for such a tiny amount of time. And I feel like I lost a lot of that time, you know, and I wouldn't change that for anything because it's made me who I am. And, you know, I've made it into the story that I am in the world, you know, but I also feel like there wasn't a lot of joy in those years, you know, and also time is running out. So I'm trying to make the most of that. So, so I wasn't searching for a particular thing as such, but other than to sort of, you know, my hashtag is live big and brave, to try and live a big and brave life. But the thing that I did find that I wasn't anticipating and that has been so completely profound for me is a relationship with nature, that has been so redemptive and healing. And the thing is, the best way that I can describe this to you now is that, you know, I feel like nature didn't give me a baby. You know,
so did, like, you have anger? Was there anger to nature then during that, those 10 years?
I didn't. Well, it's really interesting that you say that because for a long time I did describe this as a battle, but I don't see it like that anymore. Nature, you know, nature decides whether we can conceive and carry a baby. However brilliant doctors and science is, it, you know, as a nurse, it's still no guarantee. Yeah. And then when I started training for the channel, and I told you I had no idea what was involved when I started out. But when I started training for the channel, and then later when I started going into the mountains, I suddenly realized that nature decides whether you can swim a sea or climb a mountain, not you. And suddenly I was in this dialogue with nature. Now, for a while, I did think of it as a battle. I thought, it was one to her, zero to me when she didn't give me a baby. Then she let me have the channel and it was 1-1. Then I thought I was going to win the battle when I climbed Everest. Yeah. But actually, it took me 3 attempts to get to the top of Everest. So, and one of the big revelations that I had is that if I made it a battle, she would have to win. And then on my third, so I couldn't make it a battle anymore because she had to win because she was nature. And so what it was about was trying to find a peace with that. And so then ultimately when I did summit Everest, although you've read my book, you know, I don't call her Everest, I call her Chumalungma, yeah, which is her original Tibetan Sherpa name. And then on my third attempt, I did summit and I did become this record breaker, but also something very, very terrible happened on the mountain and I nearly died, which is another reason why I have my To Die To playlist. And the only reason I didn't die was, I believe, because my mountain saved me. Because if the weather had been bad, when I was involved in a freak accident and broke my leg in the death zone, I mean, obviously all this is in the book. But if that hadn't happened, if that had happened and the weather hadn't been good, I would have died up there. So I do feel very much like she saved me. Now, that is the meaning that I have created from this incredible journey that I've been on. So if I didn't know what I was searching for, but that is something that I have found and has given me an amazing amount of peace and acceptance. And I do think, I know it's like, feel like this is a very long and complicated story and it's hard to put it into sort of simple and short words. But I do think that, like, everyone has an opportunity to make sense out of their fertility story for themselves. And that is something that I have really definitely tried to do in the journeys that I've been on.
Incredible. I mean, I'm girl fanning massively, but I just find you incredibly inspirational. And you know that I've got a thing about mountains too and could talk to you forever about Everest. I would love to hear more. One thing that I ask is, what one bit of advice could you give to somebody coming behind you? Or if you prefer, what one thing do you wish that you'd known then that you now know? So it's up to you how you want to answer it.
The single piece of advice I always give to younger people, or my younger self, when I'm asked this question, is be braver sooner. You know, my hashtag, I've already said, is hashtag live big and brave. I think of that as my own personal hashtag. And I just think, yeah, be braver sooner. In terms of fertility advice, you know, to keep it on theme, on topic, you know, I think I want people to know that there are many routes to parenthood. And I would love, as you know, I'm very, very passionate about improving fertility education for the next generation so that young people have the best chance of creating the families they want. And I think there are many ways to create a family, and there are many ways to mother in the world, whether or not you have a biological child. And so I really wish that I'd sort of had my mind open to that more sooner.
Yeah, I agree. And I think going back to when you were talking about those 10 years of no joy and just feeling as though you've lost those years. And that's so common, isn't it? People talk about life feeling as though it's on hold when they're on a fertility journey. So I'm hoping that our listeners can take a bit of inspiration from your story, Jessica, and realize and see that actually there is so much more out there. And whilst when you're in the midst of a fertility journey, it's very difficult to see that, but there is so much that we can do. And hopefully putting a little bit of that joy back now and again. And I'm not suggesting that everyone just decides to go and climb Everest, because clearly that's it's not for everyone. But finding something that is their challenge or their joy so that they can live and be brave earlier, I think is really inspirational and useful information.
Definitely. I mean, yes, please don't go and climb Everest unless that's what your dream is. You know, it certainly didn't, there wasn't a lot of joy a lot of the time. Only, I always say the only joy was the booze and the food and the box sets I got to watch on the sofa after training. But that is my unadulterated joy. Yeah, I'll give away a secret from 21 Miles, you know, my second book. You know, like I often say to people, you know, like I went in search of the question, does motherhood make you happy? And then I say, you'll have to read the book to find out the answer. But I'll tell you, right, the answer is that, yes, motherhood does make you happy. But everyone that I met needed other things in their life as well. I think that is something that's really, really important to remember, that it's a really important thing, because social connection and family is so important to human happiness, but people need other things in their life as well. So whilst you're working on your family, don't forget that, work on the other things as well. And the other thing is about joy, you know, is that you can find moments of joy. You know, like it's not about like, oh, well, I'm really unhappy with where my life is right now, and therefore I'm just going to find joy and be happy. It doesn't work like that. Of course it doesn't work like that. And even me now, and I would say, you know, that I am very happy now, but I'm still on a roller coaster, because that is life.
Yeah,
exactly. But what you can find is you can find seconds of joy.
Moments.
Joy in every single day. And what changed everything for me after my ectopic pregnancy, you know, this is like 15 years ago, I started a gratitude practice, and every single day I find one blessing. I call it my blessings book. I find one thing in the day that has made my heart happy, and that is like been like a muscle. And now I'm 50. We were talking about age earlier, weren't we, before we went live, you know, and I'm 53 now, and this is my decade of joy. So, you know, like people say to me, oh, you're going to climb another mountain. What's your next big challenge? And I go, no, no, no. that was the last decade. This is my decade of total joy. So, yeah.
I love that. I love that. And yeah, I'm with you on that being my decade of joy as well. It has to be done. Brilliant. Thank you so much. Before I let you go, where can we find Save Me From the Waves, but also the other two books too?
Oh, yeah. Well, they're all available from any bookseller, wherever you like to buy your books. You can also find me on my website, which is jessicahepburn.com. And I've just recently started a Substack newsletter. Substack is the big new social media platform that like writers and content creators are loving at the moment. So find me on Substack or find me on all the social channels through my website.
Brilliant. And I will make sure I put all the links on the show notes so people will be able to find you really easily. Thank you so much, Jessica. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Oh, thank you, Kate.
Well, I hope that you found the episode with Jessica interesting. She is certainly inspirational for sure. And I highly recommend reading her books, all three of them. They are absolutely excellent. You can binge on them all. And I will put all links, as I mentioned, into the show notes so you'll be able to find them. But I think and I hope that you'll find this episode, but also her books, in that you'll find a commonality, that feeling that somebody else understands what you're going through. So do have a read. If you've got any questions for the Fertility Podcast, then please let me know. I'm always keen to hear from you, particularly if there's an episode or a topic that you would like me to cover. It doesn't matter if we've covered it before in the past, because as you probably know, there are hundreds of hours of back catalogue of the Fertility Podcast. So if you're searching for a particular topic, you can always put it into search and it'll come up. But if there's something that you would like us to revisit, or something that you would find interesting that perhaps you can't find, then just let me know. And you can email me on kate@yourfertilityjourney.com, or you can find me on Your Fertility Nurse on Instagram and Facebook. So feel free to send me a message and I will get onto it. So we're back in another couple of weeks with another episode. So keep tuned and take care. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Fertility Podcast, which is brought to you by Nat Chat Productions. The music is composed by Parla. It's hosted by Kate Davis, and the episodes are put together by Ella Woodhouse and exec produced by me, Natalie Silverman. Before you click onto your next podcast, we'd love it if you could either click on the star ratings or write a quick review, as it's a brilliant way for others to know what you think. And even just hitting follow or subscribe really helps other people know it's worth a listen. Finally, just to say, you can follow the podcast on Insta @FertilityPoddy. Kate is @YourFertilityNurse. And if you'd like to book in a consultation with Kate to understand more about your fertility and reproductive health, just visit yourfertilityjourney.com.